Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
It's the Morning Rush. Good morning. I'm Matt Harris. Bill Carroll is off today. He is back tomorrow morning. Have you had trouble sleeping during the pandemic, Dave?
Yes.
I don't know. Some days, like last night, I slept like a baby. The night before, just a disaster.
Yeah, inconsistent, I think, is the big problem.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
Been really inconsistent the last 2 months. And I think part of it for me, anyway, is too many snacks and Netflix just before bed.
It could be.
I think it's as simple as that, not moving as much. Right? Nowhere near as much exercise. And the snacks are starting to creep into the diet, and then they dominated it for a while. So it's probably not good, let alone if you have kids at home and you're just trying to get them ready for school, trying to get some kind of semblance of a routine. It can be tough. And where do you even start with that? I mean, it's 8 weeks in. Have you figured it out? Because I think a lot of us got trapped in this, oh, it's just for a few weeks. We'll figure it out.
For
right?
Sure.
So it was like an extended March break. It was like a vacation. And now we're just trying to come to terms with how to really deal with this long term. Andrew Holmes is the founder of Sleep Efficiency, Inc., based here in Ottawa. He's our go-to guy on anything sleep. Do you think that's true, that in the first couple of weeks it was just like, this is an extended vacation, it's just a free-for-all, and then we've really just been struggling with how to adapt ever since?
I'd agree completely. You know, the first few weeks, extended holiday, you're showing a little bit more leniency in certain areas. It's like, oh, well, you know, of course the screen time is up. You know, some people are still trying to figure out what a schedule would look like. Do we even need to make a schedule, or is this just a temporary thing? Now, as you said, we're week nine, and personally, I don't think the kids will be going back to school this year. I have two boys myself that are ages 10 and 12. My wife is a teacher, and she teaches from home, from Algonquin. And so, you know, there are certain schedules that all of a sudden after 2 weeks, it's like, geez, we got to really kind of implement something here, because the schedule is completely thrown out the window. There's kind of chaos. There are certain times where if there's parents working from home, they still need quiet time. Maybe there's no need for them to go to bed at the same time because they get to sleep in a little bit in the morning. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think we're kind of in a situation now where this is going to be the new norm, at least.
Good morning. I'm Chris Holsky in the CTV.
Sorry about that, Andrew.
That's all good. so I think we got to kind of look forward now to the next couple of months. And if we're not going back to September, what kind of impact is, you know, maybe irregular sleep hours, or maybe not enough sleep, or too much screen time is really having on our little ones? And even if we look internally to ourselves, where are we at now at week nine with our good sleeping habits and our overall health, as sleep impacts all of that?
So let's start with the kids. You know, they're maybe not going back to school anytime soon. Even if they do, I don't think the whole class will go back. So we're in this for the long haul. But you don't necessarily have to get them up at the same time they would to go to school, right? You can adapt that thing. Maybe would it be better to get the kids up a little bit later, especially older kids? Let them sleep in a little bit. Take advantage of the fact that they're not starting school at 8 o'clock. Maybe let them sleep in till 9 or 10. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think the thing that we should probably address here is, as long as there's continuity. So we're talking about two different groups really. If we look at the school age children, which is, let's say, ages 6 to 13, they need more hours of sleep. They're still need somewhere between 9 to 11, and it should be really the same time every single night. Now, if you've adjusted that to let them go to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, as long as they're getting the 9 to 11 hours and letting them sleep in the morning, that's fine. Again, it's the amount that they're getting on a kind of continuous basis, on a routine basis. If we're to shift to the teenage years, so let's say 13 to 18, a lot of changes start to happen with teenagers here, where they naturally stay awake later at nighttime due to no fault of their own. There's a physiological process that takes place, and there's a shift in their circadian rhythm. The circadian rhythm kind of starts to shift into adulthood, if you will, where they stay up later at night, but they still need the amount of hours that a teenager would. So they're still kind of forced to sleep in a little bit more in the morning as well. So the circadian rhythm governs our sleep-wake cycle, and it's impacted by our exposure to light and a variety of different things. So again, our teenage years, they're naturally staying up later anyways. And this would be a great time for them to try and catch up on their sleep by sleeping in more in the morning, because that's been one of the main problems throughout the school year is they're staying up due to the shift in their circadian rhythm, and now maybe they're on the bus at 7:30, sat in a classroom at 8 o'clock, and maybe they've gone to bed at 11, but maybe they're on social media or on screens that are keeping them up till 1 o'clock. Now they haven't got enough sleep. And again, their body's naturally staying up till that time, but now they're exhausted in the morning because they haven't met the requirement for as many hours. So again, what you kind of got to kind of pick it apart here. The school age children, again, make sure they're getting 9 to 11 hours total, but make sure that it's continuous, at least for a sense of normalcy throughout the course of the week. If you want to flex on the weekends, like to give you an idea, with my boys at home, they're in bed most nights by 9 o'clock and they sleep till about 7:30, 8, I guess. On the weekends, we let them stay up till 10, 10:30. We watch family movies and things like that. So with everybody else, I would say, you know, keep to the point where we can have them the kind of the weekdays the same, and then maybe play a little bit on the weekends either side.
What about, so we're all trapped inside, right? I mean, you've got the kids, you've got yourself, your spouse, you're all trapped inside the house, working from home, trying to make the best of the situation. What do you think of kids doing all their schoolwork in the bedroom? And should we be forcing them out of there into other parts of the house? Maybe it's at the kitchen table to do the work. And the reason I bring it up is I'm starting to think, you know, if I'm doing my schoolwork in there, then I'm watching TV or on the phone. If you're spending all your time in there, then you go to bed and you're basically going to sleep in the home office. Is it good to maybe bring the work part out of the bedroom so that when your kids go to sleep, they don't have those distractions, or it's not the same environment where they've been doing their schoolwork all day?
Valid, completely valid, and great point. You hit the nail on the head there. The bedroom should be really for sleep only. So you want to really kind of designate a workspace in the home, you know, have a desk set up outside of the bedroom. While it's convenient, everybody's in the house. Now, depending on the size of a home, you know, some people are living in apartments. Some people have 4-bedroom houses. Some people have 2. Maybe space isn't that ample, but really having your kid maybe do it at the kitchen table versus in the bedroom. When the body goes to the bedroom and wants to know that it's there to do one thing only, and that is truly sleep, it kind of associates itself with sleep in the bedroom. So doing any sort of other activities, such as homework, I think would kind of be detrimental to their sleep. A lot of even my friends that I speak to as well, a lot of them will have their Xbox in their bedroom. They'll have their computer, their PC, whatever it is. And so now they really become unmonitored as well. So you can kind of bring back the conversation surrounding melatonin and blue light and their exposure to blue light. And here's the other piece. We're having kids more so on Netflix, on Xbox, on PC. So their exposure to screen time is up incredibly. And now they're saying, okay, it's time to get into your Google Classroom and go and do your homework. And that's all online as well. So, you know, you compound the two together. Now, while obviously one is more stimulating than the other and one is much more educational, the exposure to blue light and the potential to increase maybe temporary bouts of insomnia can really become an issue with little ones. Insomnia is kind of defined as the inability to fall asleep, but it's also the inability to maintain sleep. And so with the overexposure to blue light and kind of these unprecedented times where there's kind of a lot of disruption, we really want to make sure that our body's getting the sleep that it needs. And that's kind of, again, all brought back to the basics and fundamentals of sleep hygiene, which is just good routine sleep habits.
So if there's going to be a lot of screen time, maybe it's hard to avoid, right? For all the reasons that you recommended. I mean, you can probably limit some of that use, but you're going to be using a screen a lot. Is there maybe a golden rule for how early you should be turning stuff off before bed then?
Yeah, I would say probably, 2 hours or an hour and a half before bedtime. Just before I started to speak at the beginning, you guys were talking about exercise, and that's such a critical component as well to this quality sleep that we're able to achieve at nighttime that can help counteract little bouts of insomnia. So not only, you know, reducing the screen time, but throughout the daytime, I mentioned how your circadian rhythm is affected by your exposure to light, which helps govern your sleep-wake cycle. So getting out, the weather's starting to turn in a little bit more in our favor now, as long as we're keeping our social distancing protocols. I have my boys run laps around the block. I get them to do 30 laps around our block, which equals about 30 minutes of cardio every day. One of them is in kind of an elite soccer program, and they're both doing taekwondo. So again, what we're looking to do here, Matt, is of course our screen time is going to be up. Of course it's going to be regular hours. But what we really need to do is try to compensate for that by giving them physical activity, by giving them other tasks to do, that it's going to be good for their overall physical health as well. That's getting outside, getting their heart rate up. You know, if they have ability to do some free weight, some exercise, some active play, all of that's going to go a really long way when we might not be back at it, as we said, till September for these little guys.
All right, so we talked a lot about the kids. What about mom and dad? And the, you know, they're working from home. I guess in a sense, some of the same things can be transferred there to the parents, right? I mean, everything you talked about the work, trying to do it at a different spot of the house, that transfers from kids to parents. Maybe the screen time, the exercise, all those things can be ticked off for adults also, right?
For sure. And it's the same thing as well with routine. I think at first, for the first 2 weeks, there was no routine, but now whether you've wanted to create a routine or not, there's one there. You know, we're week 9 at this point where you must be doing some of the same things every day. There must be a bit of a monotony coming around, whether it's a productive one or you're kind of maybe, unfortunately, you're unemployed and you're just trying to find ways to get through the day and to keep your mental health of sound mind and keep making sure that, you know, you're not maybe slipping into a bit of a depression. All of these things can kind of balance out. So really having a solid balance with your exercise, maybe avoiding alcohol. I know alcohol sales are up, and of course they are, right? People are stressed. They're, you know, maybe not having to adhere to the same kind of day-to-day activities as they normally would.
Yeah, you also just figure you're not going to work today. May as well have that bottle of wine with dinner, right? Well,
exactly. You know, and then you fall asleep on the couch afterwards because you've had a couple too many glasses of wine and a full belly of pasta. And now you wake up an hour or two later and now you can't fall asleep till 2 o'clock in the morning. So, you know what, if you can kind of get back to keeping the unofficial work week or the new normal work week to that Monday to Friday and try and re-implement some of the stuff, some of the good things that you had when everybody was at work, when everybody was at school, and try to bring that back into your day-to-day routine here. Again, exercising, maybe avoid naps in the afternoon, especially if you have problems falling asleep at night. How easy is it now if you don't have to go to work to just lie down on the couch for an hour and nobody says anything, you know? But if that there's no supplement for a good night's sleep. So if that's impacting your overall quality of sleep throughout the nighttime, that's something you might want to remove, you know. So getting back to basics is what we want to do here in a time where everything is upside down. Even if we could just grab 50-60% of the good sleep hygiene habits, you know, not using alcohol or removing caffeine after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Get exercise, but don't do it close to bedtime. Just like you talked about with eating as well. You don't want to be having massive meals late at night. Really kind of take a time to step back and reflect on where you're at with your overall health. And again, sleep is connected to your mental, physical, and emotional health, whether you're a school-aged, a teenager, or a full-blown adult at this point. And, you know, if you're not getting quality sleep at night and now you're in close proximity with all those family members, maybe you're becoming a little bit irritable around the people that you're with. I guarantee the people that are listening today, you know, they're kind of not sick of their current circumstance, but, you know, maybe everybody's a little bit short-tempered.
Well, we were talking earlier, psychologists were saying that a lot of relationship issues throughout this pandemic, people are struggling in the same spot for nine weeks. It makes sense.
Without question. And if you're giving, everybody knows what it's like to be on the receiving end of a lousy night's sleep. And if you're shortchanging yourself in that area, you're waking up irritable to start your day. Now, you're already putting yourself at a disadvantage when you're going to be surrounded, and the ones you love the most, you should be treating the best. And maybe you're treating them with a bit more of a shorter temper because you're sleep deprived. So start off with the basics is basically what I'm trying to drive home here. If you can keep a routine, go to bed at the same time, get up at the same time. If that's shifted to going to bed at midnight now or 1 o'clock and getting up at eight or nine, then that's fine. But keep that routine 7 days a week if you can. Don't go to bed at 2 o'clock one night and then you're exhausted, so you go to bed at 10 the next. Keep some sense of routine if you can. No matter what those hours are, just keep the same hours over and over.
Some good advice, Andrew. It was great to catch up with you.
Great talking to you. Thank you as always.
Andrew Holmes is the founder of Sleep Efficiency Inc. It's based here in Ottawa. If you're having trouble that goes beyond just the tossing and turning, he's definitely your guy. Get in touch at Sleep Efficiency Inc. Dave, you know what though? He mentioned caffeine. You've been making fun of me over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because Starbucks, right beside the building, friend of the show.
Oh yeah.
We frequent them a lot. They closed, obviously, because of the pandemic for several weeks. 5-6 weeks. And I just kind of stopped drinking coffee. I'd have maybe one a week, but I went from every day to just like very rare that I would have any. I'd make the odd pot at home and just have one. And when they reopened, we were so excited last week.
Oh, yeah.
We were. I actually think we may have been the first customers.
We were definitely the first customers.
Okay, so Dave and I, first customers. You went down to pick up for both of us, gave me the coffee, and I was starting to get jittery.
Yeah.
I hadn't had caffeine in weeks, and I'm not going to lie, I don't think I'm a coffee drinker anymore.
Wow.
The COVID-19 lockdown has lowered my tolerance.
See, I definitely am. I'm finally feeling like I'm back to normal with the caffeine back in my life.
Yeah, I had like two last week, one yesterday, and I couldn't do it. I was starting to get shaky throughout the day yesterday.
Not good.
Unbelievable. It's the Morning Rush. I'm Matt Harrison for Bill Carroll. We'll take a break. When we come back, Gene Velite is COVID-19.